Alleluia! Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia!
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who in the Paschal mystery established the new covenant of reconciliation, grant that all who have been reborn into the fellowship of Christ's body may show forth in their lives what they profess by their faith. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Daniel. Then the king gave the command, and Daniel was brought and thrown into the den of lions. The king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you faithfully serve, deliver you." A stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, so that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went into his palace and spent the night fasting. No food was brought to him, and sleep fled from him. Then at break of day, the king got up and hurried to the den of lions. When he came near the den where Daniel was, he cried out anxiously to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you faithfully serve, been able to deliver you from the lions?" Daniel then said to the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths so that they would not hurt me, because I was found blameless before him and also before you, O king. I have done no wrong." Then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. The word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called a twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hand, and put my finger in the marks of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Did you know that the risen Christ appeared at night? In the dark? It says in the Gospel that it was evening and the disciples had locked their house because they were afraid of the Jews. A few days ago, there was a man at large who had tried to kill a police officer, and he was out and about in Jacksonville. Did you get wind of this? Well, my husband heard about it. And that evening, he went around and locked all the doors of our house. Smart. And he decided that our black lab would not sleep in her crate that night, because she's great at barking, running to the front door if someone's there. And I must admit, I was a little nervous. I wouldn't say terrified or scared, but I was nervous. That's what we do at night, we Americans. We lock our doors. We shut out the darkness, and we turn on the artificial lights. We try to avoid the darkness or sleep through it because it scares us. The disciples were scared that night. They locked their doors for fear of the Jews. Well, that seems reasonable because it had only been a few days earlier when they had been with Jesus in the dark in the Garden of Gethsemane. And the Jews had sent soldiers to capture Jesus. And look what happened to him. Doors locked? Check. But the problem is, the risen Christ comes anyway. The resurrection will not be stopped by your locked doors. Christ will come in anyway. The risen Christ cannot be kept out, whether you like it or not. And when Christ appears inside of that locked house, the first thing that he says to the disciples are these words, "Peace be with you," which means don't be afraid. The risen Christ was trying to tell the disciples that they didn't need to be afraid anymore. He wanted us to go back to what we were like in Eden, when we didn't have to hide from anything. You don't need to hide. You don't need to be afraid. There is nothing to be afraid of ever again. And then Jesus does the most intimate, most strange thing. He shows them his hands, and he shows them his side. He doesn't show them how great he looks, how handsome, how well put together. Instead, he shows them the places where he's been hurt, where they stuck nails all the way through his hands, and a soldier took a spear and pierced and ripped into the flesh of his side. And it's those scars, those wounds that Jesus shows to the disciples. Why? Why does he show them the ugly stuff, the wounds? Why does he do that? As many of you know, I grew up in an old New England family. Every year, we had a family reunion, and it was mandatory that you showed up. And at the family reunion, there was a fancy dinner, and you had to dress up. And my grandmother would sit at the head of the table, and she would always ask the same question every year. What have you accomplished this year, dearies? And we would go around the table, one at a time, recounting whatever we had accomplished. If we had gotten into a great college, if we had gotten great grades, if we had gotten a promotion, if we had traveled, if we had published. It was like a big brag fest. Except underneath the surface, there was this current of insecurity and fear. Were we really loved? What would happen if we said we didn't really accomplish anything that year? There was so much anxiety at that table, you could cut it with a knife. When I was 13 years old, I experienced something very different, a different kind of family, you might say. There was this Christian retreat held once a year at a boarding school in New England. It was interdenominational. The schedule was rather loose and informal. It was everything from children to elderly people. But every morning, we gathered together in small groups that they called families. I was 13, and I was in a family with other adults. But what was new for me was that these adults did not share what they had accomplished that year. Instead, they shared their pain. I'll never forget a man in his 20s, which at the time I thought was old, telling us how terrified he was to go to graduate school and take out a loan, but how much he wanted to be a teacher. And I remember that he cried. Or a woman in her 40s who told us about the chronic depression that she had struggled with for decades. And in the course of 5 days, I came to know these people in a way that I had not known people before. They were complicated, and they were struggling, and I found them so beautiful. And we came to love one another. Why? Because we shared our struggles with one another. We shared our pain, and I knew them better than I had known anyone before. There is this beautiful new movie that came out recently. I encourage you to see it. It's called About Time. It's really a romance between a young woman and a young man. But there's this beautiful scene in which the young woman is introduced to her love's mother. And of course, she's nervous, as we all would be. But the mother, instead of asking her where she went to college or what she's done with her life, the mother says, "I want to know your worst faults." And the young woman looks terrified, like, what kind of a question is that? But in fairness to this young woman, she is very honest. She says, "Deep down inside, I'm really insecure." And the mother smiles and she says, "Aren't we all, dear?" And then the young woman says, "And I have a terrible temper. When I'm really mad, I can say the most hurtful things." And the mother says, "Well, how else can we get them to do what we want them to do?" And then the young woman says, "And I have to admit, I have a weakness for your son. I like him so much that it terrifies me." And the mother said, "You know what? So do I. But let's not tell him." In the course of just over 1 minute, these two women went from being strangers to knowing each other, to loving each other, because they shared their weaknesses. I think that it is incredibly important that God chose to raise Jesus of Nazareth and he kept his scars. You know, if God can raise a person from the dead, you know that God could have airbrushed over those wounds. I believe that the risen Christ came with scars for a reason. He did not come back to us perfected, beautified. He came back to us wounded. Because God does not find your perfection beautiful. God finds you beautiful when you admit your struggles and your pain. And it is your pain that makes you who you are. It is your struggles in life, your failures, your inadequacies that shape who you are. Not all the things you did right, not your resume. It is what we struggle through that defines us. And when we pretend to have it all together, all we end up doing is scaring each other. So in this Easter season, I challenge you to unlock your doors. Open your heart and share with one another who you really are, what you're afraid of, about your loneliness, about who you grieve for. Having it all together isn't that interesting anyway. The resurrected Christ came to us and he showed them his wounds, and that was how they knew it was him. And if you want to know one another, we also have to be able to show each other our wounds. That's how Thomas knew Jesus. He touched the scar. Jesus came back to us with his wounds, and he was so beautiful. Let us stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Almighty God, we give you thanks for the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for showing us the path to eternal life. Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
We ask your blessings on all who have died, that they may know the joy of the resurrection life. We remember especially Randy Tucker. I invite you to speak the names of those who have died aloud. Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
We pray for all who are ill, lonely, or suffering in any way. May they find the peace that passes all understanding. I invite you to speak the names of those in need aloud.
Cheryl, Michelle's daughter.
Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
We pray for all victims of violence, especially the victims of violence in our own community, that they and their families may find peace and strength. Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
We pray for those who serve in the military, for their family and friends, that they may be held in the palm of your hand. Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
We pray for peace throughout the world, that there may be understanding among races and peoples. Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the good use of our natural resources, that we may be led to nurture and maintain this planet. Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the city of Jacksonville. Help us to care for this city. Bless our government and our schools. Help us to show your love here in the core of downtown. Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
We pray for this cathedral and for all those who walk through these doors, that we may be led to glorify you in all things. We give thanks for all the blessings of this life. I invite you to name your blessings aloud.
Thank you, Lord, for this cathedral, my family.
Risen Christ, hear our prayer.
Father in heaven, give us the courage to unlock our doors and share our wounds with one another, that we may be known by you and by each other. This we pray in the name of Jesus, who showed us his wounds. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to St. John's Cathedral. It's so good you're here today. If you're new or visiting and you raise your hand, the ushers will bring you a gift, but you have to hold it up, up, up so we can find you. Welcome, welcome. So glad you're here. It's great to have you today. This Wednesday, we're beginning a new class, Living into the 50 Days of Easter, at 6:30 on Wednesday evenings in Cummings Chapel. See your bulletin for more details. We are very blessed to have as a member of our community an expert on the Ukraine, really a world expert. He has been spending the past decade trying to build democracy in the Ukraine. His name is Bruce Barcelow, and I've asked him to come and share his wisdom with us. So next Sunday after church, a light lunch will be served, and you can hear him speak in Ingram Lounge. There's more details about that in your bulletin as well. Also next Sunday, St. George's Evensong at 5 o'clock, beautiful musical event that happens annually at the church. And not this Tuesday, but the following, we're going to have a reception for all newcomers. If you're relatively new, we'd love to have you come. I'd love to get a chance to know you better. And for those of you who've been taking Basic A or who've come to the church, the bishop will be here on Pentecost, which is June 8th. And so if you're interested in being received or confirmed into the Episcopal Church, please call the office, and we would love to do that with you. That's such a joy. The National President for the Daughters of the King is with us today. She was here for the Spring Assembly of Daughters of the King yesterday, Pam Runyon. There you are. Welcome, Pam. We're so glad to have you today. Welcome. And remember that every week this church counts every dollar, and we are always in need and so grateful for your generosity. So if you can continue to fulfill your pledges, as the summer comes, people often forget to pledge, and I have to remind them. So pay your pledges, be generous, and help us continue to keep this place open and beautiful and doing ministry here in the heart of downtown. Remember the words that our Lord Christ said to us, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Acclaim you, Holy Lord, glorious in power. Your mighty works reveal your wisdom and love. You formed us in your own image, giving the whole world into our care, so that in obedience to you, our Creator, we might rule and serve all your creatures. When our disobedience took us far from you, you did not abandon us to the power of death. In your mercy, you came to our help, so that in seeking you, we might find you. Again and again, you called us into covenant with you, and through the prophets, you taught us to hope for salvation. Father, you loved the world so much that in the fullness of time, you sent your only Son to be our Savior. Incarnate by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, he lived as one of us, yet without sin. To the poor, he proclaimed the good news of salvation. To prisoners, freedom. To the sorrowful, joy. To fulfill your purpose, he gave himself up to death, and rising from the grave, destroyed death and made the whole creation new. And that we might live no longer for ourselves, but for him who died and rose for us, he sent the Holy Spirit, his own first gift for those who believe, to complete his work in the world and to bring to fulfillment the sanctification of all. When the hour had come for him to be glorified by you, his heavenly Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. At supper with them, he took bread, And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Father, we now celebrate this memorial of our redemption, recalling Christ's death and his descent among the dead, proclaiming his resurrection and ascension to your right hand, awaiting his coming in glory, and offering to you from the gifts you have given us this bread and this cup. We praise you and we bless you. Lord, we pray that in your goodness and mercy, your Holy Spirit may descend upon us and upon these gifts, sanctifying them and showing them to be holy gifts for your holy people, the bread of life and the cup of salvation, the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant that all who share this bread and cup may become one body and one spirit, a living sacrifice in Christ to the praise of your name. Remember, Lord, your one holy Catholic and apostolic church, redeemed by the blood of your Christ. Reveal its unity, guard its faith, and preserve it in peace. And grant that we may find our inheritance with the Blessed Virgin Mary, with patriarchs, prophets, apostles, and martyrs, with Thomas and all the saints who have found favor with you in ages past. We praise you in union with them and give you glory through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty God and Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. These are the gifts of God for you. You are the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
And now please join me in sending forth our lay Eucharistic minister, who will bring communion to those who cannot come to church. In the name of St. John's Cathedral, I send you forth bearing these holy gifts, that those to whom you go may share with us in the communion of Christ's body and blood. We who are many are one body, because we all share one bread, one cup. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for assuring us in these holy mysteries that we are living members of the body of your Son and heirs of your eternal kingdom. And now, Father, send us out to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Lord. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. The risen Christ appeared to us and showed us his hands and his side. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and remain with you always. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let us go forth in the name of Christ.